Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. Today, we're going to be talking to Evangelist William Pollock. How you doing, William?
Blessed and highly favored, brother.
Amen. Amen. It's good to have you back on the show again. I know it's been a while. I just wanted to, you know, to check in and see how the Lord is moving in your ministry and what's going on in the revival world. It's always interesting to hear all about your stories.
Come on now. Hey. Just like the Word of God states, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, brother. We're in the river of God's glory that's ever pouring from the throne. Revival isn't coming. Revival is here. And that's the message to the body of Christ in this hour. We need to get into the river of God's presence, for it's ever flowing.
Amen. 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 Amen to that. Now, for a few people that don't really know you that good, can you explain your testimony to people just a little bit?
Well, I was raised Church of God, you know, all my life. And it was about 2006. I had a radical encounter in the church. And I heard the audible voice of the Lord. He spoke to me, said, "For I've called you into ministry." Now I'm like, what? And the power of God, I kid you not, the power of God fell on me. And I laid on the floor. I began to speak in tongues and interpret over the entire church. I don't remember what was said. All I know is I was so drastically touched by the hand of God that from that day forward, there was evidence that there was a call in my life. I mean, God began to supernaturally send people north, south, east, and west to begin in the early days to have house meetings, 30, 40, 50 people. I mean, the power of God was just, it was tangible. It was beautiful. I mean, there were so many encounters. I mean, there were times where the room would fill with jasmine. I mean, during, you know, just worship unto the Lord. No music, just, you know, us praying in the Holy Ghost, you know. And it was about 2009, I got really, really, really hungry for God, more so than I think any other time in my life. And I'll never forget it because I was led to just separate myself, and I locked myself in a room for 3 months. And some people say, well, that's a little drastic. And I'm like, look, I was just a little bit hungry, a little more hungry than most people. In fact, I was starving for something more. You know, here I read the glorious good news, and I see the working of miracles and signs and wonders. And I said, God, I go, the church needs that. And I had the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I lay hands, people fall out, the power of God. I cast out demons, and I seen, you know, mighty miracles on a smaller scale. You know, of course, to me, any miracle is mighty, my God. You know, salvation, of course, right, brother? You would say is the greatest miracle.
Amen.
But I just got so hungry. And my wife, she thought I was crazy. She's like, what are you doing? I said, I don't know, but I'm running after God. I locked myself in that room for 3 months. I quit my job. I pressed into God, and guess what? Guess what happened, brother?
Amen. What happened, man?
Absolutely nothing for 3 months. I didn't hear God. I said, what is going on? And I'm like,
oh, man.
Seriously, like, God, did I do something wrong? It was March 28th, 2009. I heard the voice of the Lord. He spoke very clear. He said, go to the East Heisley Church of God. And he said, be there tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Well, the crazy part is, brother, I didn't even know if the church existed. I had to Google the thing. And by God,
man,
it was there. It actually existed. It was a church, and it was like about 10 miles from me. And I said, okay, I'm going. So I went to the church, and there was a revivalist that had come out of Rodney Howard Brown's ministry, been to 20 nations, had a, you know, a carrier of the joy of the Lord, and you know, the anointing of joy. You know, the Bible talks about joy. I believe there's over 154 scriptures that reference joy. Some people think the devil brings joy, but I can't find a scripture on it. But, you know, and he carried the tangible fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, I heard a lot of Pentecostal preachers say, fire! You know, they're always yelling fire, brother. And I'm like, man, where? I don't see this fire. I guess, to me, I thought it was just like a charismatic, you know, like flair. You know, they got to throw some sauce on it when they're praying, you know, really. You know, they get really, you know, into it, if you know what I speak. My talk.
Yeah.
I found out that the fire of God actually exists. It's real. It's tangible. So here I am in the
Amen.
Back of this church, and you know, we're praising the Lord. We're singing old school. I mean, it's old school Church of God. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. You know, we're going at it, clapping hands, praising the Lord. And I'm standing there, and I kid you not, brother, I felt tangible electricity. I mean, like pins and needles power going from the soles of my feet to the top of my head. I actually got really uncomfortable and was overwhelmed because I was trying to figure out and reason in my mind what was happening to me in the natural. Then I began to feel, the only way I could describe it was hot oil being poured on the top of my head, and it went to the soles of my feet. I was instantly immersed in fire and power, so I felt burning fire and electricity. And then the craziest thing happened. People all around me start shaking and laughing. And I'm like, what's wrong with these people? I wanted to smack them. You don't laugh in church. You know, I was raised that way anyway. Yeah. So everybody started laughing. They were looking at me, and I'm shaking. I'm sitting there. I'm going, oh, my God, help, Jesus, help. And, like, what is going on? Like, I'm trying to figure out what's happening. And the first thing I thought, spontaneous combustion. I thought, oh, my gosh, I upset God, and that's it. I'm going to blow up right here in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Well, Matthew 3:11 says that the one whose sandal straps were not worthy to carry, the one who comes after him, well, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. If you read the King James Version, it says and with fire. So we got the baptism of repentance with water. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have the baptism of fire. And so what I was receiving was a tangible baptism of the fire of God. And little did I know, the power of God and the anointing of joy. Now, some people say joy is not an anointing. Well, my Bible says in Hebrews 1:9, because you love righteousness and hate wickedness, therefore God your God. Basically, well, raise you above your companions, anoint your head with the oil of joy. So it is an anointing. Anoint your head with the oil of joy. Sounds like an anointing, don't it? Anoint your head with the oil of joy. I'm like, this is tangible and real. So, brother, one of the craziest things that happened is, like, my ministry went to the next level. I begin to see, like, mass miracles. Every time I started praying for people, they were getting a miracle. And I wasn't even praying for miracles. They just got healed. And the level of gifting went to a whole new dimension. Like, I was getting first and last names and dates, times and places. And, you know, and I got this mantle, this prophetic mantle on my life. The prophet's mantle is on my life. It's strong. And it's been this way since I was a young child. But, you know, it was like all of a sudden I was beginning to hear heaven in a new way like I had never seen before. And, I mean, almost like someone would get in my presence, all of a sudden it would be like a divine knowing. All of a sudden I would – I like here's an instance. There's a man came next to me, and I said, sir, you got in an accident 2 weeks ago. I saw that you injured your right hip. God told me to tell you that when you were in the doctor's office, there was a man that you were next to. You were supposed to tell him about Jesus. You two exchanged phone numbers. Now you need to call him back. That type of level of gifting. And I said, Lord, it was just, you know, it was profound. And one of the things that was so interesting, the first 30 days, I had people come into my house at all hours of the night. I don't even know these people, brother. I don't even know these people.
Man.
They're knocking on my door 2 in the morning. Listen, Grace went out the window about 12 o'clock, okay? You know, and they're knocking on my door, and they're like, I don't know why I'm here. And then right away, man, the power of God fell on me. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was present. I walked outside in my shorts and a T-shirt and no socks or shoes. I said, I know why you're here. I put my hand on the shoulder. And as soon as I start to speak, man, the power of God hit them. They're on the ground. But it was different. They were shaking and laughing. I'm like, what is wrong with these people coming to my house in the middle of the night? I go to pray for them. I'm trying to be nice. They start laughing. So I thought something was wrong with me. So I went to several Pentecostal preachers. You know what would happen, brother?
What was that?
What happened? Every single time I'd start telling them about the testimony about how God touched me, they would start laughing, and they were burning. I said, look, what is wrong with these pastors? So none of them could give me an answer. Then finally, after the last pastor, I heard the Lord very clearly. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, 1 John 2:27, you don't need no man teach you but the anointing. I said, my God.
Amen.
The anointing. Come on, brother. The anointing. Oh, my God.
The anointing. Amen.
It shuddered to my bones. Shook inside of me, and I went home and I praised the Lord, for I finally got the answer I was looking for. But guess what? Man couldn't give it to me. Only the Holy Spirit. And from that day forward, the Spirit of God rose me up as a voice in this country. And I've been all over the United States, preached the gospel, and seen revivals. I've seen thousands of miracles, the power of God fall in a scale that just makes your mind feel tiny. I'll tell you, I live in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned, or they're foolishness to him, and for their spiritually discerned. And so, you know, for the longest time, even though I carried this gifting and anointing, my natural mind would continually try to reason, why are people laughing? Why are they burning? Why are they shaking? But we need to understand, we serve a supernatural God. When we look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, that encounter was something so supernatural that I think the church today needs that very encounter. They need a touch, and that's what we see. Everywhere I go, book of Acts, chapter 2, becomes a reality. And that's, in a nutshell, my testimony of what God had brought me through, you know, and how he touched me and transformed me.
Amen. Amen. I know in the last week or two, we have actually been talking about revivals and the Brownsville revival, just different, you know, revivals we was talking about. And we had Jerry Roth on here, which is a good friend of yours.
We
was talking about the Brownsville revival, and that, you know, revival actually helped change his life too. And we're just talking about how, what was actually the root of the revival and what the revival actually did. And we came to one thing, what it actually did to everybody. It changed their hearts. It changed how they saw things.
Yes.
And I mean, the miracles and all that was cool, but the biggest thing is when they left, they was changed. They went home changed, a new person. And there were so many people getting saved and all this and that. But the main thing is they came in a sinner and came out reborn. And that was the main thing for all these revivals. It was changing people's hearts. Even the pastors was getting their hearts changed. They was stuck in religion. They couldn't teach the word of God anymore. They was too worried about the people. And after this revival hit, it changed their hearts, and they saw everybody different. So
glory to God.
That's what God, I really feel God is trying to do these days. He wants to change the heart of man. Our country has went so far to hell that he wants to change us. The old religion is not working anymore.
We got
the old religion, then we try to remake the religion to nothing at all, that we can do whatever we want to, and God is all glory.
There you
with
go.
That.
And that's prophetically, that's what God has been showing me, and I just want to pipe in on this. Yeah, brother, you're hitting the nail on the head. See, revival will cause a heart transplant, and the best surgery God does is when we're on the carpet. And when we're down and out and we're in the spirit, that's where, you know, everybody, some people, they try to get up too quick. And I tell you, if you're listening to the rebroadcast, don't get up off the floor when the Holy Spirit is transforming your heart. Listen, Father, I thank you right now. For even now, God is touching the hearts of the people. There are those that are feeling the tangible fire of God's presence. It's the fire of God that was in Brownsville. See, what happens when the fire of God falls, it begins to burn away the dross and the chaff. The wrong religious mindsets and thinking begins to come into alignment with the word of God, the will of God, the ways of God. And see, we need a transformation in America. And when our president took center stage, you know, I almost said pulpit. He took center stage. I heard the voice of the Lord very clear. He said, now I have authority to bring change to America. God's going to make America great again. And I'm telling you, the fire of God is going to fall once more, and it's going to be like nothing we've ever seen. There is coming, God says, a convergence of the rivers of God's glory. There are many streams, and many are drinking from many waters, but some of those are not living waters.
Amen.
They're dirty rivers, and they need to be careful because some are switching, as you said, brother, from religion to rebellion when it's really freedom in disguise. And it's religion.
Amen.
It's religion disguised as freedom, and it's rebellion. And they don't realize it's still religion, just as the religious, because neither are teachable and neither will receive from the presence of the living God. And so God, there's a great uprooting and a pulling out, and I'm telling you, there's a fire coming that is going to cleanse the body of Christ, just like it's cleansing the government right now. Even now, God's hand is in the government, and there's a draining of the swamp.
Yep.
And God is taking authority. And see, authority, my God, I'm prophesying now. But the convergence of the rivers of God's glory in this hour is going to cause the leaders of old and new to come together and put aside all their differences and come together for one common goal, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Where we've lost it in the church is we've made it all about man's wisdom. 90%, it seems, of the church is eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to one degree or another, when in reality, we need to be eating from the tree of life and life more abundantly. And Paul said it best, my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of power and spirit, that your confidence would not rest in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. And this convergence and the merging of the old and new, and they put aside their differences. It's like many rivers, many streams. When me and Apostle Jerry gathered together like this past summer, I can't believe I don't know if he told you about it, but we had a move of God for 3 weeks. We had people come from 15 states.
I remember
that. Hundreds of miracles. And it was nobody laying on a hand. God was just doing creative miracles, healing people, deaf ears and blind eyes opening in the meetings, just because the weight of the glory and the manifestation of the presence of God. And I'm telling you, it was like Brownsville. It was the old and the new coming together. And there was no competition. And they worked together as one and just got out of the way of the Holy Spirit. That's the biggest problem in the church. People try to take place of the Holy Spirit. They're like, well, I'm going to get between you and the voice of God. So what people do is they run to the prophet, or they run to the prophetic, or they run to those that pray. And that's fine. Yep. That's good to a degree. But there comes a point where you say, hey, saint, you need to learn to hear God for yourself. This isn't Old Testament. It isn't just the prophet, the priest, and the king that hear God. It's everybody that's been baptized and born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and new tongues, and that has access to any one of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost, can hear God for themselves. We need to train up and raise up the body of Christ. See, it's not just me that's anointed. It's you that's anointed. It's every listener that's anointed of God, and we need to work together, not separate. Amen.
Amen, amen. And one of the biggest things that people say is, God is all love. He loves us no matter what. That's right. But God is holy too. And they always leave that one out. God is holy. God can do nothing but what is
in
holiness. He is complete holiness. Now, if you're not living in holiness, now I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will transform you. But you've got to get in this way of mind to stay that way, to try to live holy, try to be
Preach
that.
It,
but
brother.
when they're teaching this stuff, they say God is all love, but then they can go drink and have affairs and all that. That's not holy. God can't look upon that in your lives.
They skip over 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, learning to possess one's own vessel, meaning you have to actively abstain from sexual immorality and the things of the world. I mean, come out from among any unclean thing, the Bible says, and I shall receive you. It's not Old Testament, it's New Testament. There's an act of us abstaining and staying away from things of the world. And in the world, you got these jokers that are running around. Again, it goes with that word with religion and rebellion, but it's really, it's freedom. It's religion disguised as freedom, and that's what it is. They're really bound. And they're deceived. I mean, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about, basically the coming and the working of the Antichrist. And one of the things that's going to happen with these false teachers and false prophets that are preaching, a diluted message. And most of it's not even really the gospel. They take one golden nugget in the Word of God, then they pervert it. And then the Bible talks about that, about perverting God's grace and trampling the Son of God underfoot. I mean, it's really a dangerous thing to start playing around with. But it says that strong delusion in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 would come upon them, that God would place strong delusion upon them to believe the lies they're believing. And I believe that's what's happening. Many of them are so delusional, thinking that they're serving and walking, any old way. And they think I'm under, grace. Let's call it what it is. And I'm all about the message of grace. But
amen.
I believe that many of them are, they're perverting God's grace, or they're using it to justify their sin. I'm telling you, God's grace isn't a license to sin, but it's been given so you can overcome your sin. I need your grace. The Bible says, boldly come to the throne to obtain mercy and grace in a time of need and help. And it's like, my God, we need you. We need your help in the church, Jesus. My Lord.
Amen.
Lord.
Oh, amen.
Get me fired
Jesus,
up, brother.
When Jesus takes you in as a sinner, he wants to clean you up to magnify himself, to show him, to show people what he did in your life. Not for you to stay the same way, and he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to change
right.
you, and his whole idea is to change your life, not to keep you as you are, but change you to magnify himself, to make you like himself. So,
amen. Amen.
If you're preaching the word and you're out here trying to move in miracles, but you look just as bad as they are, what are they going to do to want to follow Christ? You're no
right.
different than they are. You're sinning. You're drinking. You're going to the bars. You're going to this, but you're laying hands on the sick. I mean, what are you? Just a magician? I mean, what's the deal? And
well, the Bible says that the gifts and call come without repentance. So you can be called as a pastor, as apostle, prophet, evangelist, preacher, teacher. You can be gifted, filled with the Holy Spirit, have that point of conversion and infilling and transformation. But you can go and live like the devil, and God's not going to just turn around and take the gift and the call off your life, because he doesn't just turn – because, that's his grace. I mean, that's true grace.
Amen.
I mean, he loves us enough that he'll never take it. But the problem is, I believe that that's the warning that, it's in the book of Matthew that many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do miracles, signs, wonders, and all these great things and prophesy? And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. But people miss it. I never knew you.
Yeah.
The chief complaint wasn't, you have tattoos, you're drinking, you're partying, you're living like the devil. He's just simply saying, I never knew you. Like, I didn't have koinonia. I didn't have relationship. We didn't have fellowship and communion. You got baptized with the Holy Ghost. You got filled. The anointing, and the gifting was on your life. Now, you went and you did many things in my name, but was it in my name or really for you? That's a sore spot people don't want to hear. Are you doing it for – did you do it for me? Because if you did it for me, I didn't get no praise out of it. I didn't get no worship out of it. I didn't get any glory out of it. The only glory I ever saw was the glory you sought from man. I'll tell you, to every young minister entering ministry, heed these words. Watch out for three things: gold, glory, and girls. Stay away from the money, stay away from God's glory, and stay away from the women. Get yourself married. Paul says, he said, I wish all would be like me. Listen, we don't all have that grace, brother Paul. We love you, Apostle Paul. You're in heaven, but some of us got to be married. And so make sure you don't just date for 2 weeks and go, oh, my God, I got to get married. And then you realize, oh, my gosh, I should have never married this woman. And then you got a full-time ministry, and then you're miserable for 8 years. And then the devil dangles the right carrot. And just like us men could be dumb donkeys, you might bite that carrot. So be careful. Use wisdom.
Yep.
And seek the
Amen.
Lord. And, a man that finds a good wife, he finds a good thing. That's a proverb.
Amen.
Come on. Amen.
Yeah, you
come on.
You find a gift. Amen. You find a gift there, God gives you. And,
that's right.
A lot of times when you're out and you ask God to bring the right woman into your life, and he will. And
that's
you got
right.
to be
– You better believe he will.
You got to be looking for that. But, it's – you really got to, try to live how God is asking you to, and just let God move in your life. And I know as
a
minister –
Stan, I got a question to ask you.
Go ahead.
What Does the Bible, does the Word of God say this or not? Be imitators of God. Now, what does the word imitator mean? What does it mean to imitate?
To look and act like Christ.
Oh, my gosh. Now, that is a revelation in and of itself. Hello, Gracers. Wake up and smell the coffee. Take a drink of the good, glorious gospel, the news that will transform your mindset. Hello.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. You know, we made some amen. People mad.
Yeah. I got a habit of that. I got a habit of that. But anyway, you know, God is great. God loves every single one of us. But his whole thing is to change your life. He wants to make you that new man. He wants to make you that new woman. He wants to transform your life. He does not want to see you the same anymore. Once you gave up that life, you're supposed to die to yourself. You're supposed to die to your old self. Your old self's supposed to die, and a new man or a new woman's supposed to be reborn. And I do know this. I know that when that transformation goes, I know the enemy comes and tries to bring up all your old faults, but then you got to look at the Word of God. Then you got to look and say, hey, that's not me no more. And you got to try to work in not work, but you've got to try to live in that manner. And
You know where the breakthrough comes in that area, and I believe that few preachers are teaching this, but the Bible says renew your mind daily with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a renewing, and where we miss it, why we don't, it's almost like some people are not fully delivered. It seems they get on fire, they're set ablaze, they've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit's doing a great and mighty work. But they're losing sight of the fact that, you know, as it says, states in the Old Testament, my people, what? They perish for lack of knowledge. Now, I'm not saying get all headsy about it, but they need to get in the Word of God and allow the transforming influence of the power of the Word that was written to transform their mindset. The Bible says put on the mind of Christ daily. So when we put on the mind of Christ, that means we need to open the Word. We need to engage. We need to get into prayer and praise and worship in the Word. And the problem is we've got too many, you know, fruits, flakes, and roll-ups. They're the Sunday, Wednesday crowd. They come, they think they're saved, or you get the once-a-year Easter or the Easter and the Christmas crowd, you know, and they think they're all good and they're fine and dandy with God and they're going to skate in by the skin of the teeth and they're going to live any old way they want. But I'm going to tell you, they got another thing coming. The Bible clearly states in the New Testament that it's better to not know me and turn your back than to know me and the glorious gifting and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm just paraphrasing, okay? But to know me and turn your back on me. And so here you got the Sunday, Wednesday crowd. They know God, but they don't know God. Do you see what I'm saying? There's no relationship. Matthew 7, what's the issue? There was no relationship. Look at the parable of the virgins, the five wise and the five unwise. That's almost like a prophetic picture that only half the church is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so you got all 10 were virgins. They all had, hey, here's one that'll really blow your mind. They all had appearance of holiness. Okay, purity. When you're a virgin, it speaks of purity and holy and like wholeness, you know, one with God, okay? But you got five that were spending time in the presence of God. They had the oil. And then when the time came, they wanted to come and grab some of the ones that had oil. And they didn't have any. They said, hey, you, go and buy from man your supplier. They knew their supply was man, not God. And so therefore, they went to man. They got the oil. They still made it. They found the door. They knock on the door. He said, I never knew you. He didn't know who they were. He's like, who do you think you are? You're going to come in here to the feast, and I don't even know you. You're an uninvited guest. We don't have a relationship. Again, relationship. Okay, you look at, and then you can just scroll down a little further. The parable of, the talents, remember? You have the different one, and you have the dude with the one talent, right?
Yeah,
he buried his when the big man came a calling. He said, you know, what'd you do? And he's like, I knew you to be a hard man. Or he was fearful. He was afraid, and he buried it and hid it. He said, you wicked and lazy servant, he cast him in outer darkness. He had fear. And I'm telling you, some people, they're full of fear. They run after man and not God, and they're full of flesh. And I'm telling you, many of them are not going to make it through the pearly gates. They think they are. They're like, oh, they say the sinner's prayer. That's it. They're all good. And I'm not saying, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong idea and get the works, but you need relationship. But what I see here is you need to be relational. You need to have communion and fellowship with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. And that I believe that's key and instrumental into moving in, even in revival.
Amen. Amen. I mean, the original church that I was raised up in was a Lutheran church, and I saw people sitting in the pews and they just nod their heads and they stand up and sit down, but there was no relationship. It was more, right. It was more, they come on Sunday and they would come on, it was a ritual. And right when they would try to do something different with the praise and worship, where you actually had to get into the worship, they wanted to chase the people out of the church because it was too much like real church.
Right.
But it was just unique. I remember they had another service, which was a praise and worship service, and the Holy Spirit would come in, and some people would raise their hands, the other ones would look around, nobody else had theirs raised, and they put them down and look around. They didn't know what to do.
Fear. So, look like the lazy servant. You were fearful. I mean, God, what does the Bible say? I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. But people miss that. And I want to throw this scripture in there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible clearly states, we go from glory to glory. And the problem is people are camping out in yesterday's glory. I mean, you know, they get away. Like, I love the grace, the message. I love the purity of the true grace message. I should put it that way. And, you know, but they're camping around one revelation and building a whole doctrine. And that's where we fall short. And you see, it's a whole gospel. It's not a partial gospel. You can't just take one golden nugget and build a whole gospel around. I mean, you know, it just, you know, it's almost like they built their own version of the gospel. You got to be careful of that. You got to be really good. We don't want to camp out in yesterday's glory. You know, the Bible says we go from glory to glory, continually being transformed into his likeness, his image. And so the renewing of the mind, the watering of the word within our soul and, you know, our spirit and us, you know, demonstrating the kingdom of God and stepping out and moving in faith, which the Bible clearly states without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need to move and walk in faith. But I'm going to tell you, so many people, they're like, William, why does God move so mightily? Now, brother, have you told them? You should tell them about some of these meetings. You've seen some of these videos. If anybody knows who Brother Kenneth Hagin is and his
team, yeah, I know who he is.
That's what my meetings look like. The power of God falls so strong. And here's the crazy part. All I do is open the glorious gospel, the good news.
Yep.
And I begin to read the scriptures. Stan, you've seen time and time again. And what happens? The power of God falls in the church. And so the chief issue many leaders don't understand, they're like, I don't understand how you can read the Bible and the power of God falls. Well, I come, believe it or not, from a generation of you know, Holy Ghost-filled men of God that actually read it, believe it, and obey it. I didn't know that I wasn't that, like, I didn't know about denominationalism until probably about, like, 2007. And I didn't realize there was all these different branches and all these different belief systems. I simply read the book from cover to cover, and I believed everything it said. I didn't know any better. I thought God was God, Jesus is Jesus, the prophets were the prophets. You know, the kings and the priests are the kings and the priests. You know, the Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit. He's the same Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He's the same Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And so I actually believed everything I read. And this is why God was moving through me in such a great degree. But there, I tell you this, brother, and I say this to all the listeners. There came a time in my walk where the enemy would bring people in to try to get my thinking in alignment with their religious thinking. So they would come and they would twist the scripture, or they would tweak it. And they would do things like, you know, a lot of Christian television, I hate to say it, but, you know, it's disgusting. It's perverted and it's twisted. And they'll take a scripture and they take it out of context. So you know what happens when you take the scripture, the word of God, out of context? It becomes, that text becomes a con. And so it's twisted and it's perverted. A lot of people, they you know, you always hear about, you know, oh boy, this one has a spirit of perversion. And I think they always think around the lines of sexual, but actually when you look it up in Webster's, those perversion has to do with the twisting of the original meaning or intent of something. And so this is, they are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are no better than what Timothy, in the book of Timothy, you know, it talked about the great apostasy of falling away, you know, false teachers, you know, tickling men's ears, you know, just twisting things. And so be careful. The secret to the sauce is relationship, not religion, okay? And relationship is real simple. It's showing God how much we need him, right? You know, and religion is telling God how much he needs us. That's what's wrong with these people. And, you know, I'd rather, you know, be on fire for God and walk alone than you know, and carry my oil and have about, you know, 15 lamps, you know, than be in that other camp.
Amen. 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 And I even saw this myself, you know, my walk. We had a meeting out in the country, and we was teaching healing, and we just started talking about the Word of God. And when we started talking about the Word of God, just going into scriptures, just talking about healing, what the Lord said and all that, the Holy Spirit started manifesting. And instead of just laying on hands, just barely, we just barely touch them and they would fall out. And I could see the light of the Holy Spirit just coming through. And I was like, how did this happen? It's just by teaching the gospel. He always shows up.
Yes.
So that's the
exactly.
Thing.
Well, that's what the word says. You know, these signs shall follow them who believe. Now, the problem is some of them are reading the scriptures, but they don't believe. And that's why they have no signs following. You have to actually believe what you're reading, because if you don't believe what you're reading, you will not see signs that follow that confirm that this word was from God. And see, some people, they don't understand. They're like, well, I preach the word. And so I think that's where they get into fear and doubt and unbelief. And, you know, the Bible says doubt and unbelief is basically a sin. And so we need to stay away from that. But doubt and unbelief will rob the believer of their authority. And if they're not in their, if they don't walk in their authority, they're not walking in their identity. See, so the problem is too many people, they're like, well, you got to be the best version of Stan. You got to be the best version of William. No, I'm the best version that Christ created, because it's not I, but Christ in me, the hope of glory working through me. And when I come to the end of I, me, myself, and I, that's the process of dying to oneself. It's nothing left but Christ crucified and him resurrected, working through me, the hope of glory. And people don't understand that. And so the identity, they need to identify with the death, the burial, the resurrection. It says that we have been baptized in his burial and death and resurrection. We have went through it with him, and it's now we have come up through it. And I'm telling you, he's working in us and he's working through us. And
amen.
You know, I think one of the biggest problems in the church today is a spirit of pride. And it's, you know, you can see some of these preachers, it's almost like they're holding a mirror like Snow White and the Wicked Queen, man, looking at themselves. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of them all? How many likes on Facebook? How many views? How many people know my name?
How many million people calls me, you know? Yeah.
Right.
It's,
amen.
it's unique. And, you know, they go to all these conventions and they all sit in these big green rooms until they're called out to give their message. And then when their message is gone, they go back to the green room to wait for their private room where they could drink their coffee and go back to their hotel. And it's crazy. Yeah,
it is. But it's a shame, brother. It's a shame.
Yeah,
there's those of us out here that just simply do it because we love the Lord. No motive, no agenda, just want to preach Jesus.
That's it, man. It's just trying to be led by the Lord and have him to use you to the manner that you're supposed to be used. And I was talking about that today on this post I did today. I was telling people, I said, God uses us all differently. We ain't none of us the same. We're all used in different ways. It might be,
that's right,
you know, teach teaching a word of God to your coworker. It might be, you know, preaching the word of God at the store or just witnessing to somebody. You know, it could be anything like that. It can be preaching to 10,000 people. I mean, it doesn't matter. But he's using you in some sort of way. And each time that, I mean, I do lawn care on the side. And I had one of my customers today that I just walked and talked to her. And she was talking about the Lord, how the Lord has carried her through her life as a single mom. And there's times when her business, salon didn't do anything, and she'd be like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And the Lord said, you remember, you know, whoever believes in me, I will provide. Just wait, I will provide for you. And me and
That's
her
right.
was just talking back and forth about the Lord. It started raining, and we looked behind us. There was a humongous rainbow right over our house, dude.
Come on.
It was like God was listening to us. We was just sharing the love of the Lord talking about his glory and what he's done for us, and about us trusting in his word, trusting in him, no matter what it is. A lot of times when, you know, life gets very bad, we want to trust in ourselves. Hey, this ain't going to work. I need to go and do something and just flush it down
the
toilet. But just wait for the Lord to come in and change things. And I'm not telling you to sit on your couch and eat Cheetos and watch TV all day. I'm telling you to actually go out there and try to find
my Cheetos.
Yeah, I'm talking about going out and trying to find a job or pick up the paper and look for a job and let God open these doors when you call for that job.
Amen.
Or when you knock on that door, he opens those doors. But it's, you know, it's just learning God and trusting, stepping out for God. That's the biggest thing. And a lot of people say, you know, praying for people on the street is so easy. One thing I like to ask them, have you tried it lately?
Oh, there you go.
Have you tried it lately? It's not that easy. It's not that you've got to confront
right.
people. And none
That's
of them
right.
has a, some of them don't have an open mind of that. Some of them's like, get away from me, you know, this and that.
Yep.
But you have some that has an open mind and they're like, let me see what the Lord will do, you know, and they get healed or
right.
transformed. But they think it's just running people down, but it's not. It's how much faith do you have to step out for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what
come
it
on.
Is. It's what it is. And we was out doing some ministry at Concord Mills Mall, which is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we was out praying for the sick, and we saw some people get healed and people get saved and stuff like this. And we had this one guy just step out from behind nowhere. I don't know where he came from. I think he just poofed in front of us. And he's like, you guys are out here praying for the sick, and you're doing this and that. Where is God in all of this? What's going on here? It's not in the scriptures. It's not this and that. And he's just bringing all his religious mumbo jumbo out there, you know. and the thing of it is, his sister was praying for the sick and seeing signs and wonders, but he was too scared to do it, so he wanted to put down everybody else that did do it. And
wow.
I'm like, why don't you? I was thinking, why don't you, instead of putting us down, join us and start spreading the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to these people in this mall that needs him desperately, needs to see him move
there you
desperately.
Go.
And it's,
there you go.
It's just.
Right.
Just things like
He's
that,
part
man.
Of that company of the 2 Timothy 3:5 crowd, for they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such people stay away from, the Bible says. Problem is, you know, we keep trying to run after a lot of people like that, but if they reject the power of God, God says, dust your feet off, move on. Don't waste time with dry, dead fruit.
Amen.
But we
Amen.
Can pray for them. We can pray for them, but, I mean, some people, they don't want to hear the truth. That's the issue. With this generation, it's an issue where they don't want to hear the truth. They want a gospel where they don't have to be held accountable. You know, I mean, how many of them are going to stand before God? He's going to say, what'd you do for me? What'd you do with all the years you sat in church and you heard the word? And, you know, what did you do for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did you get up? Did you get out? Did you do? I mean, do they realize, pastor, prophet, evangelist, preacher, teacher, their job is to equip the church. The church's job is to go and do the work of the gospel, and they're not doing it. They're supposed to go and heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons, Matthew 10:8. They are called to preach the glorious good news of the gospel to the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives. I mean, but they're not doing the work. They go week after week after week, and that's why I call them the Chosen Frozen. They're the Sunday, Wednesday, Tried Dead,
Frozen.
God Vomit, talked about in the Laodicean church. The Lord said, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Let's go King James. Come on. You know.
Amen.
Call it
Amen.
What it is. You know.
Amen.
They're you know, oh, Jesus. Pray for us.
Yeah.
Lord. You know, he's continually
Amen.
On the throne, the Bible says, making intercession. We need prayer right now, Lord. Pray for us.
And, Amen. That's one of the biggest things I really believe, you know, we got these career preachers that they actually preach the word of God because it's their career, not their calling, but their career, and they took it in college.
You mean hirelings? The Bible warned us about them. A hireling,
yeah.
They're so, the definition is one whose sole purpose is to work for a wage. They're wage earners. But when the wolves come a-calling, they're nowhere
they go
to be
running.
Seen. And I'm telling you, that's when the sheep are up for devour. And the sheep,
yep.
I mean, the Bible says the blind lead the blind in the ditch. And so it's the blind
yeah.
leading the blind right now. And we got many hirelings in the pulpit that are there for money, but they're not there for anything else. They're there to make
that's
a buck.
It.
They're there to make a living. And, you know, it's just it's disgusting.
That's it, man. But I really believe, you know, this country does need revival. And I really believe that the church, I actually believe. I really believe that the old religion is dying. I really believe that there's home churches starting everywhere. You'll see them.
You better believe it, because people are tired of churchianity, and they're tired of the rituals, the traditions, the programs, man's wisdom. It's all about me, myself, and I in most of these churches. It's like, man, most of these people, if you don't have donuts and coffee and a child care and all this other stuff, look, I'll get a barn with a dirt floor with some metal chairs, and I'll just open my big mouth with no PA system, and we'll have more revival than in 90% of these churches that think there's something when God looks at them and says, man, my Holy Spirit's not even allowed on the property. And I'm going to tell you, I just put a little banner up today. You know, more churches are like this than you would imagine. You know, they think the cloud of his presence is a smoke machine. It's true.
Smoke,
you know.
I was seeing a post by Paulie B, and he was saying, you know, my revival is not a church. It's out on the street.
Come on.
That's
good.
He stopped right there, and he was just started shouting about the word of God and teaching all that. And all these people overseas just stopped, and they was all listening to him and coming forward. He didn't have no PA
yeah.
system. He didn't have,
Come
you
on.
Know, that certain thing that he just basically stopped and started doing what he's supposed to have been doing. And I thought it was pretty unique and pretty awesome there. But it's really just doing that. I mean, I know back in
Brother,
the 50s.
Brother, I'll tell you right now, if the churches in America would make it more about inviting the allowing the Holy Spirit in their church instead of worrying about getting the numbers and the people in the church, we would have a revival that would have no end in sight. Okay, you know, it's all backwards. It's backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where people miss it. It's not about you or me. It's not about you or me. It's about him and what
Amen.
He has done and the price he's paid. And this is where they miss it. It's all about self-help. I was in one church preaching the power God fell, the joy, the holy laughter, man, people rolling around, miracles upon miracles upon miracles. And I said, you know, depression's overrated. And some people got mad at me when I said that. They like their depression. They want to look like they need prune juice or a good Holy Ghost infilling. I don't know. I can't tell half the time. I'm like, are they backed up one way or another, spiritually or physically? I don't know. Maybe both. But they just look at you, and they look like they got sour balls in their mouth. And I said, most churches, they need a self-help pamphlet to come in, because if you actually preach the truth of the gospel, they'd probably need counseling. Because they go, oh, my God, he hurt me and upset me, and I don't like my feelings. I need safe spaces. What's wrong with me? I said, most churches, you know, you come in oppressed and you leave possessed. You're not getting the divine impartation, but look at demonic impartation. These people need to wake up and smell the coffee. Most churches, you need a Xanax dispenser on one side and a Prozac dispenser on the way out to help with your anxiety and your depression. They don't believe in the power of God. They think it's all about science and man and wisdom of man. And, oh, gosh, it's just God vomit. That's what it is. Oh, Lord, help.
Yeah.
Lord, help.
Yeah, it's different, man. It's different. But, yeah, I do understand that about, you know, how people go in and then they just don't really understand what's going on, or, you know, that there's just so much stuff going on there in the church. But, you know, the body of church, one thing that I have learned that the Lord has taught me, that he does love his church and he does weep over his church.
Absolutely.
And I really believe that he wants to help these people that has these issues in their church. He wants to transform these churches. And I think he's bringing people like me and you and a bunch of other, you know, friends of ours to go to these churches and help unite these churches and get them set on fire. And
do you
I
know
think
what the
that
the most dangerous prayer a Christian can pray is, oh, God, send me your fire. Let me tell you what happens. When God actually sends his fire and revival comes, there is a separation between the goats and the sheep. And so all these pastors that are holding revival conferences, God forbid when true revival comes into their church, because half the church leaves, because half of them were religious, no good Sunday, Wednesday, dry, dead, pew-warming Christians. And they're more like unbelieving believers. You know, they profess to believe, but they're not. They don't believe. They see the power of God. They go, oh, it's the devil. You know what? People need to be careful. Because many that are cursing revival and saying it's of the devil, the Bible makes very clear that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is calling, literally calling the works of the Holy Spirit, or attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to Satan. People need to be careful. And they want the fire. They're like, oh, God, send me your fire. Well, guess what? All hell's going to break loose, because transformation change is going to come, not only behind the pulpit, but in throughout the crowd and in throughout the church and all throughout the leadership. And God will separate that which is not of him, that which does not celebrate, tolerate, or love him. But, you know, there's going to be a tearing away. And, you know, the fire God removes the tares from the wheat. And do you know how you identify a tare? When the wind blows, the tare doesn't move. It stands up straight. And so it's almost prophetic. When the wind of the Spirit comes in the building, those that are not moved by the Spirit are the ones God's going to get out of there. I know that'll preach.
Amen. Amen. I mean, even during Brownsville, when you would hear about, you know, the pastors there, they would say, you know, we had people leaving. We had some of the normal church people leaving, and they broke, you know, friendships with people. They just left them when that revival hit, because they didn't want to have nothing to do with what was going on at church.
That's
kind of hitting the nail on the head about, you know, revival when it comes. It's like when the fire comes in, he's purifying the altar, which you are the altar of God. He is living there. The altar of God is purified. When the fire of God comes upon the altar, he purifies it. So he's purifying the church. And when it falls upon a man, it's purifying him to withhold a stronger, you know, anointing, or the stronger fire of God to really do this. He has to have you purified. And I've heard a bunch of stories of people when this fire would come down, that they'd be on the floor just shaking, feel like they're getting scorched by a flamethrower just going through their body, and then when it's done, it just seems like they're clean. They don't know what it is, but they're just cleaned. And that's a pretty unique story.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. But it's good to have you on here. Tell us a little bit more detail about what happened last summer, about that revival that happened down your church.
Wow. Well, it was I believe it was the first three services. I'll never forget, and the glory of God filled the place, and you could see it in the natural. There were so many pictures that were taken. You could see like lights show up. The Bible says that the Father is the Father of lights, so we actually saw lights show up, and there was a heavy, thick glory. Now, the word glory in the Bible, translated in the Greek, means kabod, which means heavy and weighty. And so we were in the beginning, we're experiencing a heavy, weighty glory. And all of a sudden, I'll never forget when it happened, we had five deaf ears pop open. The people jumped up simultaneously, and they're like, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And then all of a sudden, we had like several people. I had them come up on stage. They testified. And that was the first, of many breakthroughs where we begin to see revival really break out. And the word, or, you know, just like the Bible says, the fame of Jesus went out about the land. And so what happened was what God was doing just spread like wildfire. We didn't have to hype it. God was doing a pretty good job. And it was the first few services. I'll never forget, but the spirit of prophecy came upon me. The Holy Ghost came, and all of a sudden I began to sing in the spirit. And I can't sing, but it was the Holy Ghost. It was beautiful. And I started singing in the Holy Ghost, and then I began to, like, I was singing in the spirit, and then I was interpreting the song as I was singing it, and it was a prophecy, and the Lord had all the women come up. And I'll never forget, it was about lionesses that were releasing a roar cry in the land. And so as I'm prophesying over each lady, the power of God's falling, they fall out. I didn't even touch them. As I was prophesying, they fell out under the power of God. And then all of a sudden, after I got done prophesying over the last lady, the power of God fell in the building. Everybody fell out. And they began to, what I can only describe, is groan. They were going, ooh, but simultaneously, everybody in the building, wave after wave of these
groans.
Yeah. And this was going on for hours and hours and hours. I said, my God. And so I said, Lord, you got to give me some scriptures. So he took me to Romans 8:26, and it talks about the groanings of the spirit. These are things that can't be uttered by man. But it's the Spirit of God making intercession through groaning. And I said, okay, well, this makes sense. Thank you, Father. And so every night, I mean, the crowds got bigger and bigger and bigger, and there were more miracles. I mean, people were getting healed online. I mean, it was just like, I mean, it was almost every single night we had multiple miracles and people getting healed. And we had people coming in from state after state, and we had regions of leaders. I mean, tons of leaders were coming in droves left and right, and they were getting touched. They were getting filled. And then we got reports that they were taking it back to their church, and then the whole church, it would break out in revival. It was just amazing.
Amen.
What God was doing. It was just powerful.
Hey.
And it wasn't something that we tried to orchestrate. I mean, one night, we had angels, brother, begin to sing.
I remember that.
Did you watch the video? I got a 9-minute clip of angels singing with us. Everybody's freaking out. I stopped the meeting. I said, everybody stop. Be quiet. And you could hear the angels. Oh, and it was just like a solid high pitch. Like we were looking, even if somebody, like, I mean, go figure, faith went out the window. We're looking for somebody trying to produce something, or they're playing something. But it was, you could hear it everywhere. But and wherever you're at the same time, it was absolutely amazing. Then there was a picture. A woman took a picture of me, and she had her back faced, and she took a picture. And you saw nothing. She took a second picture instantaneously, and literally there was a brilliant light that was covering me. It was like it was a giant angel of the Lord standing in front of me, like covered with fire, like light.
Amen.
It looked like light and fire. It was amazing. It was just, and I could tell you hundreds of stories like that during those couple weeks. But it actually didn't just stop there. We took it out to another church for 2 months, and then we took it all around the U.S. I mean, in total, I mean, it really stopped about in December, but we had about 5 months of revival because of
that. Amen. Amen. When you're talking about the angels, I remember when we first started doing some street ministry, we heard that while we were ministering to somebody. It was like a singing.
Oh, wow.
And it just kept on. And we was looking for a little midget walking around trying to do it. It was like, where is this person?
Right? I know. Like,
where is this person?
We're like, oh, this can't be supernatural. It's got to be somebody doing it, right?
Yeah. The difference you can tell between a person and an angel, that the angel doesn't breathe. It constantly goes.
Right. They just continuously go. That's in that 9-minute clip. It was 9 minutes of solid.
They don't stop. They don't stop and breathe.
No,
they don't stop and breathe.
They
constantly go. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
And also,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. The very next night, I mean, we were just undone. And so if God didn't, if that wasn't enough, we had like the Spirit of God fell and everybody was laid out. And that's another thing about this move. I mean, the only time I laid hands was for miracle healing. Otherwise, I didn't touch anybody, but 90% of the people were always on the floor and getting laid out. The power of God would just hit them. They'd fall out of their chairs and everything. And the Lord would just sweep in the building, and it was like people were knocked out, including myself. But the very next night after the angel singing, we had, and it's caught on film, we had shofars, not one, not two, but three shofars in the building. Nobody had a shofar. Nobody in the natural was blowing a shofar. And you can hear, boop, 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 boop. And then I was like, and I was freaking out. And I told everybody, stop talking, stop praying. And so they all stopped praying. You could hear the shofars going off. It was just amazing. I said, my God, this is supernatural.
That was an invasion of heaven, man. Heaven was the praying heaven on earth. That was
you
heaven
can't
on earth.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's amazing.
Nope. When God first put me on the street, we heard some of that stuff. I mean, just when we would start testifying to people and getting people saved, the angels, I don't know how many it was. I think it was one or two would come, and they would document. I don't know what was going on, but I just know it was like a documentation of one singing. And it was like, we've never heard that before. And we actually would look at each other like, I thought I was hearing things. And I looked at my friend. I said, you hear that? I heard that too. And we would look for him. We couldn't find it. And it would stop. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And they actually got a recording, because used to when these Christian groups would go around and play music, the angels would get involved in it. And they would start behind the music. And what they would do, they would cut out all the human music and just listen to all the angels' music, and you can hear it. And it sounds exactly what you're talking about. And I might find it and share it with you sometime, brother. But it's
amazing.
It's awesome, man. And I remember there was this one thing that I saw where this guy, they were singing in the glory for like a long time, and he fell out. And as soon as he fell out, the angels took over. And it was like tremendous. It's like just they just took over. But
divine that, encounter of the God kind.
it's awesome, man. This stuff is real as you and me. People think this is just a story or something somebody made up, but this
right,
is real.
Yeah, no, it's like I got the video proof. We had tens of thousands of hits on that video. I mean, people were just like, they said they'd watch it and they start crying because the presence of God's so strong on it, and it's absolutely overwhelming. You know, it's undeniable. You can't deny it. I mean, you literally have to be agnostic or like a or an atheist to literally try to, say, well, this isn't God. You know, I mean, you'd have to be blind, deaf, and dumb to say that there wasn't something supernatural in that video. It was amazing, just absolutely amazing.
It's awesome. Yeah, I really believe that. I really believe that God's going to bring a revival to our area, and I think it's going
to
come pretty soon. And God has really been opening my eyes. And I'm pretty sure that it ain't going to be just one of these church revivals where you just have a revival to have people show up. It's going to be a real revival. And I really believe God is bringing it to North Carolina. And I think we've been really needing that. But that's one reason why I had William on today, because one of our focuses here on the Healing Light show lately has been revival, the change of man's heart. And it's kind of switched. I mean, we would have different people from healing, but this whole year I really been pushed towards, talking about revival, and who else would know more about this would be you, William. So it's awesome to have you on here today, William, and God bless you, and thank you for coming on tonight.
God bless you, brother. Thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
Yeah, it's been an awesome night in the Lord. And I like to say God bless everybody, and just tell people how to get in touch with you if they need you.
Yeah, if they want to, the best way, connect with me on Facebook under William Pollock. You'll see my banner for Joy Fire Ministries. I also have a public profile on Facebook. You can just click like on that. That would be great. We also have a School of the Holy Spirit. You can connect on Facebook through that as well. Just type in School of the Holy Spirit. We load a lot of tons of free teaching and impartation, discipleship, one-on-one. All our information's at joyfireministries.com. And keep in touch, connect with us. God
bless.
That's
awesome. Yeah, God bless you, man, and we'll see you next time. I want to tell everybody that we do have a deliverance ministry coming here April the 22nd. John George will be here in May, North Carolina. He's going to be doing a workshop teaching you just how Jesus Christ was walking in deliverance, how to take this deliverance into your church, take it into your home, take it into the street, set people free from the enemy, and this show you that this stuff is real. This is just not something made up in the Bible or some story. This is really freedom to you and to your family. It will bring freedom to you if you have depression, you have diseases you can't get rid of, if you've been in a hospital multiple times with the same thing over and over. Come to this meeting and get set free. There is no charge. We don't charge for these meetings. We do take offerings if you would wish to give offering to our ministry. But just come and check this out. It's going to be an all-day thing. It's going to be at the Maiden Recreation Center. It's going to start at 10 a.m., and we're going to be going on till about 5. We're going to have lunchtime, but we're going to be going on till about 5. We're going to have Beth and Carl Smith there. They're going to be doing worship, starting with worship. It's going to be a great day in the Lord. Don't miss this event. Like I said, it's going to be April the 22nd, and John George is going to be sitting here and teaching people about deliverance and how to put this into your own life and showing you the gift that God has put in his life. And I like to say, God bless every one of y'all, and we will see you next time. Thank you again, William.
Thanks. God bless. Bye-bye.
There are no words, no phrase I could create. There is no melody that I could make. How do you sing about a love song?